Resurrection.
Anastasia.
All right.
Resurrection. To stand again. I was studying the resurrection of Jesus. How do you say Jesus in Greek?
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. All right. Jesus. And how about Christ?
Christos.
Christos. All right. See, you're learning Greek, you people. Studying and talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he was walking in perfect tense on the way to Emmaus, which is 36,000 feet from Jerusalem. I calculated all that out. It's 6.82 miles from Jerusalem. And he was talking with them all of those 36,000 feet that he walked all that time. Walking and talking with these people in perfect tense, continued to talk and to walk with them. Finally, he got to where they were going, to their house, and they begged with him, I'm still thinking Greek, they begged him to stay and dine with them. And it says that he laid up, and that's the term, to lay up. Because how did they eat back then? They didn't sit down at a table like we do. They laid on their side over a couch, and then a table was laid out there, a long table, and the food was spread on the table, and they leaned out there and they ate with their fingers. Okay? And they ate like that, and as they were just about ready to get down, he blessed the food. And you know what it said in the original language? He kept on multiplying it to them. Just kept on giving it to them in the imperfect tense. You know what he was doing?
Like doing a, loaves of bread.
A retake of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. And it says, and all the time that he was with them, they did not know it. It says their eyes kept on being darkened, held back. They kept on being blinded and couldn't see him. But when he performed a miracle of the multiplication of the food again, I don't know, maybe they had just a little bit of food there, but he just kept on giving it to them, just kept on passing the food out. And then they knew who he was. And I hadn't taught that one before. I often wondered, what was it? What was it? Was it the way he broke? Was it the way he prayed? What was it that made them recognize him then? Now I know. He performed another miracle. He performed another miracle right in their eyes and showed to them again the multiplication of the bread. Of course, I'm sure he couldn't. I mean, he could have fed 5,000 men, but he just kept on giving it to them. He piled their plates full. Brother Fred.
It speaks of there in Matthew. I was trying to remember where it was. But he told his disciples, he said, I have food that you know not of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if that wasn't that when he was in the desert 40 days.
Yes.
If that isn't what he had with him when he was there, that food.
The food he had was to do the will of God. That's what he said. He was talking, you know, the disciples left him there at Samaria at the well, Jacob's well. And the Samaritan woman was there, and he was starving. They were all starving, and they went to the village to get food. And he went there with him. And then he asked the woman to draw water for him out of the well, and he told her he could give her water that she would never have to draw again, and so on and so forth. So she thought he was going to pipe water into her house, and she wanted to know what kind of water salesman this guy was, and you know, she was all excited about it. And anyway, we go on, and when they got back, they said, who slipped him some food? He's not hungry at all. What in the world happened? He was absolutely famished when we left. And here he is talking to all these people and everything. And where in the world did he get this energy? Where'd this second wind come from? And he says, I have food to eat that you know not about. Sometimes you can go out and you can just be absolutely worn to a frizzle. Frizzled out.
Doesn't that also tie into when he talks that man does not live by bread alone, but by the word?
Yes. That's one in Matthew, the 4th chapter, in the temptation of Jesus, when the devil came up and tempted him. Do you know what he was? He tempted him. I don't think he quit tempting him there. I think he went through his whole life. In Gethsemane, he was tempting him again right there. The pressure of our sins and the weight of our sins were on him right there. In Gethsemane, he sweat blood for us and what was going to happen to him. And he says, and the devil says, just turn those stones into bread if you are the Son of God. Since you are, is what he said, not if. The words, it's not since, or it's not if there. There's no if to it. It says, since you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. You can do it. And later on, Jesus would multiply. He would create bread. He would create bread again there in Luke, the 23rd chapter, toward the 24th. Right there, he would create bread again there when the disciples that he met there at the table when he made bread. He did in two different times. He created bread from fish and from little loaves of bread. It went around thousands, 15, 20,000 people were fed. But not then. Because Satan wanted him to do it then. The Father wanted him to do it later. And those miracles were the messianic credentials of Jesus. The Kyrie. Pros. Tina. Apelous somatha. Gramata. Zoes. Aeoniu. Akes. All right. He answered him, or to him, Simon Peter. He answered, third person singular, first aorist, indicative, passive. He was called to answer. And the word answer, what does it mean? Literally. It means to catch up in speech. When you have people, and the Greek language is a language of word pictures, all right? A.T. Robertson wrote a 6-volume set commentary on the New Testament, and he calls the word pictures of the New Testament. The Bible speaks in the original language in word pictures so you can understand by sight, mental sight, what's going on. When two people are talking, you know what they're doing? How many of you ever go out there in the yard with your dad or with your children or whatever and throw a ball back and forth and catch it and throw it back and forth, tossing the ball back and forth? That's exactly what you're doing with talking. It's like playing ball. And that's what the term here is. You caught up in speech. You catch the ball and you throw it back. He answered, or he caught up, or he was called to answer him, Simon Peter. What's the word Simon mean, by the way? Simon. Simon. Anybody know? No? It means hearing. One who hears. A listener. One who listens. All right? Simon. One who listens. Of course, Simon had his foot in his mouth a lot of times. He was a little bit sometimes short on listening. Maybe that was a joke. You know, God plays a lot of jokes on people, doesn't he? A lot of jokes. And he said to him, Simon Peter, what does Peter mean? Well, not rock. Petra is rock. What is Peter? Petros. A stone. And Cephas is the Aramaic word for it. Also the equivalent. Okay, it means stone. A little stone. Okay, a little small stone. A rock. A rock like this. This big. A stone this big. Now, the word Petra means a large rock. How many of you have ever been to Morro Rock? That's a Petra. How many of you have ever seen the Rock of Gibraltar? That's a Petra. Okay? And the foundation of that building out there is a Petra now. It's a big piece of concrete, which is a big rock. All right? That's a Petra. But this is Petros. This is a small stone. Okay? And he answered him, Simon Peter, Lord. Now, if you look in the Septuagint in the Old Testament, the word Kyrios is the same word. You can use that same word for Jehovah. you want to. It interchanges, okay? And that could have been what Peter was using, the way he addressed the Lord here in this sense. Jehovah. Jehovah God. Lord and Master. All right? The word Kyrios. Now this is in the vocative here. That's the vocative, the case of address. How many of you can name the eight cases in Greek? Can you do that yet, any of you? Nominative, genitive, ablative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Okay? That's them. Eight cases. And this is the vocative, the case of address. When I say something to you, I would say, Fote. No, not, you're not. Like, my friend's name is Fote Kyriakos or Frank. And I would say Fote when I was talking to him. I would say Fotios when I was writing that he was doing something. That's an anonymous thing. Fotios did this. But when I spoke to him, I'd say Fote. All right? Case of address. All right? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Now that shall we go, there's api, lu, eso, matha. That comes from apo and erkamai. Apo and erkamai. From whom or whom shall we go? First person, plural, future, indicative, middle. To whom shall we go? Words of life eternal you have, you possess. Words, remata. Remember, there's a lot of words for words in Greek, for word. What is the one word for word that's so evident in John's writing? He uses that, and even we talk about that word a lot.
Logos.
Logos. That's a word for word. There is another word. It actually means to flow, and it's reo. And this is the word remata here. And that means an oracle. An oracle or a speech or a statement or a edict. He said, the edicts, the statements of life. He's talking about the oracles. An oracle. The Old Testament, the writings of Moses, the whole complete writings of Moses were an oracle of God to Israel. An edict of God. Whole thing, looking at it as a whole. And what Peter is saying here, Jesus, your whole statements as a whole are the words of eternal life. Life. The word zoes, life. How many of you ever been to a zoo? Zoo? That word zoo comes right straight out of the Greek language. It means where living things are kept. Where living things are kept, where you can go and look at living things, okay? That's where the word zoes, our word zoo, comes right out of the word zoes, or zoe, okay? Living things, Brother Fred.
Now, why would they ask that question? Does it refer back to verse 65?
Yeah, it goes on.
Well, there he's...
Remember, the disciples, a lot of the disciples left and no longer followed Jesus. And then he asked his disciples, these close-knit disciples, Jesus looked at them and says, are you going to leave too? Now, he told them not to follow him for the food. Don't worry about your food. That is nothing. You can starve a lot, and it doesn't take you long to eat and to catch up. All right? You can, in 15 minutes, you can eat so much food, you can't get another one down your neck. You know, not another morsel. All right? But he said the most important food is the eternal food. He talked about the manna in the wilderness, that he was that was a type of him. He was the true bread come down of heaven. He was a true drink, the true water. He said, I am the water that followed Israel in the wilderness. I am the water. I'm the one that provided water. And just think about it for just a minute. When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, he had been beaten. I'll tell you what, Pilate did everything he could do to turn him loose. 7 times he declared him to be innocent. And they were shaking the whole house down. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, they were shaking the whole place. The place was this vibrating with hate. in civil war when Pilate had Jesus before him. And he kept saying, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. He said, there is no reason to execute this man. So he had him beaten. Now, how many of you have heard of the 39 stripes? He wasn't beaten with 39 stripes. Pilate had him beat almost to death because he wanted to save his life. In all reality, he was going to beat him real bad, but he wanted to save his life. He figured, a lot of times, you know, when people see other people suffering, they'll feel sorry for them. So he had him whipped and whipped and whipped and whipped and whipped. His blood was all over the place. They pulled his whiskers out. They pulled his hair out. The rabbit, when they're about to kill him, they'll just start screaming, all of them, all at the same time, just screaming. And when they touch, when they latch onto that little rabbit, and he starts squealing, they all, you'll hear them just all just scream and at one time, and that's exactly what they were doing there. Paul called himself like a coyote or a ravening wolf after the churches of God. He said, I was like a bloodthirsty, ravening wolf after the churches of God. I destroyed and I killed people like a ravening wolf. I had a thirst for blood. And that's exactly what they did here. The more of his blood was spilled, the more angry they became, and they wanted his death. They weren't going to satisfy anything short of death. And it was the death of the cross. They took him up, they put him on the cross of Calvary, and nailed his hands in there. By the way, they nailed them all. Everybody had their hands nailed on the cross of Calvary. He wasn't the only one that was nailed. Everybody was nailed. Sometimes it took 9 days for people to die on a cross like that. That was a horrible, horrible death. And while he was up there, and when they would hang down, they either put nails through here in the wrist. They don't know which one. They said probably through here so they wouldn't tear out. Otherwise, they'd tear out like this. Because they had to pull themselves up to get a breath of air. And they push themselves up and pull themselves up, and they take a breath. And they couldn't stand pushing up, and they couldn't stand pulling up, so they'd go down. What they would actually do is suffocate in the lung because they became so tired they couldn't push themselves up, pull themselves anymore, and they would suffocate. Well, he was doing that. He was going through this torment. And there at last, what was the last thing he asked for?
Water.
The God that created all the water in the skies, all the oceans. That was the water, the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness, has said, I thirst. I thirst. We ought to thirst. They ought to thirst. Jesus thirsted. He was exhausted. He thirsted. They put that up to his mouth. He wouldn't take it, as it says. And he says, Father, unto you I deposit my spirit. That's what he said. I deposit it. My spirit. And he breathed out his life. It says he breathed out his life. Brother Jim.
I subscribe to a magazine that's published by Christian Jews.
Uh-huh.
And this last one I received had an article in it that was a heartbreaker, because what you describe is still going on today, and it's manifested to some degree in this manner. There's only one thing that can cause a Jew to stop being a Jew, and that's not even being an atheistic Jew.
No.
They're always Jews, liberal Jews.
The Sadducees were atheists.
As soon as they become a Christian, in the eyes of the Jewish community, they're no longer Jews.
That's right. They retreat.
A Jew himself, a converted Jew,
mm-hmm.
he's just a completed
Yeah.
More Jewish than ever.
Yeah. They will fight God until the end. They will fight God until the end, and God will work them over. The whole tribulation period is for them. That's the whole reason. It's Jacob's trouble. 2/3 of them are going to be destroyed. But they will come back to God, and God will be glorified in them. He will be. And then, that wasn't all. There was a Roman soldier came out there that was told to break the legs of them. You know why they broke their legs? They couldn't get another breath. They would suffocate. They couldn't push themselves up, and they couldn't pull themselves up enough with their arms to get another breath, and they would suffocate. He went out there, and he broke the other's legs, so they would suffocate. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus was dead. And according to Josephus, they ran into the temple, and they got Goliath's sword that David had cut Goliath's head off with. They thought that sword was a miracle worker. And they had him stabbed in the side with that sword. They wanted him dead. They were not going to be satisfied. They wanted him dead. They wanted to put that sword through his body.
Now he went through all this satisfied divine justice.
Yes, justice.
It only brings to mind that how devastating sin must be in the sight of God. Mm-hmm. Send his son through that pain.
God hated sin so much that he became sin for us, the offering of sin. All of us went through that. Remember when we talked about time? You know, time as we know is not. We've tried to talk about eternity. Eternity you cannot fathom. The word in Hebrew for eternity, it means to conceal that which cannot be understood. But Jesus on the cross of Calvary for 6 hours, he was in time and space, suffering, going through torment, held in that time and space. The Father tasted that, the Holy Spirit tasted that, and the Son tasted that for us. For your benefit. He didn't have to go through it. Remember what Barabbas? Remember we talked about Barabbas? What does Barabbas mean? Remember what Barabbas means? Son of the Father. Bar means son of. Abbas, Abba. Son of the Father. Okay? Barabbas was a murderer. He was an Al Capone of his day. He was an organized crime. He was a civilly disobedient. He was a murderer and a killer and a thief and a robber, like the person that left the man on the way to Jericho that the Good Samaritan saved. Remember? He was the kind of person that would go and just ravage him and take him, strip all their clothes off and everything and leave him out there to die for the vultures to eat. No care, no feelings, no nothing. And when they said, one of us is going to be... Pilate said, wait a minute. There's a scapegoat. Remember, there's a scapegoat? Remember, you have a scapegoat that at one time a year on the Day of Atonement, you send him out in the wilderness and he's your scapegoat? Well, I'm going to release one. I'm going to release the scapegoat. Who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas? And what did they say? Barabbas, the murderer. The thief, the killer, the Al Capone, the furry boy Floyd. Give it to him. Kill Jesus. You need to say, Barabbas, that dirty rat, that no good rat, that it's you. Barabbas is you. Barabbas is me. He was a type of us. Barabbas was a type of us. He was set free. But Jesus paid the penalty. There was a elestestai is the word. It means to pay in full, payment in full. When Jesus said, it's translated, it is finished. It's translated, it is finished. But it is a Greek term that means it is paid in full. Paid in full. When a man was convicted of a crime, if it wasn't capital crime, and you know what capital crime means? Capital means a crime relating to your head. It means a death penalty. If it wasn't a death penalty, you were taken to a cell, and by the way, back then, they didn't feed you. If your family didn't come and feed you, you died in that cell.
Paul was depending on people to feed him and clothe him in prison, because if he didn't have somebody to take care of him, he would rot and die in those jails. Well, right on the front of your jail cell was a thing hammered up there. And a note was stashed up there and says, this guy is in jail. Paul the Apostle is in jail for causing problems among people and preaching the gospel. Okay? Well, when he was released, just using this as a type, he wasn't. But it would say, a guy would come up there and they would take this piece of paper with all this written down, the crimes, and then he would write, Totelestai. It is paid in full. And he would be given this pardon and he would walk out. He paid the penalty. And that's what Jesus said. He paid the penalty. It is finished. The penalty has been paid. It's done. It's over with. What was over with? Our salvation. It was paid for. Paid in full. Paid in full, Brother Fred.
Yes. Maybe you can explain this to me. I don't understand the fullness of it. But it's in Isaiah 53. It says, 53:11.
Mm-hmm.
It says, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied.
That's right. It will be paid in full. He'll see the travail of his soul and the penalty will be paid. He will be satisfied. The payment is done. Totelestai. It is finished. The payment is made. That's what it's talking about. The payment has been made. That's what Jesus did. John 6 and verse 69. We're going to wander along. Kai himes.
Kai himes.
Pepistiu ka men. Kai. Boy, that's a lot easier, wasn't it? Egno kamen. Hote. C. A. Ho. Hagios. To.
To
you. All right. Kai is a conjunction. You can look on page 208 in your little analytical lexicon and find that one. And we. We is a nominee plural first person pronoun. All right. And then it repeats it here in papistu kamen. First person plural perfect indicative active, and that comes from pistio. Means I believe. It says, and we have believed. You know what, by the way? When you're saved, you have believed. You are saved. That's a completed action. You know, your faith does grow. And everything that happens to you in life is a... Well, in the end of your life, everything that has happened to you and how you have reacted to it is what you're made of. That's the kind of personality, person you are. It's how all the things that's happened to you and how that you have reacted to them, that's what you are. And through a person's life, as we go through our lives, and we might find little obstacles through our Christian lives, those little obstacles are tests. When Abraham was told to go to Mount Moriah, right up there where Jesus was crucified, and to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to the God that, and just think about this, the God of Isaac and the God of Abraham did not require a human sacrifice. He detested it. And this one time he said, I want your son. I want your son. You know what? There was one human sacrifice made, wasn't there? On the cross of Calvary. There was one human sacrifice made, only one. And Abraham's Isaac was a type of that one coming. But he went up there, and Isaac says, Father, where's the sacrifice? We have the fire, we have the wood, we have everything, but we don't have a sacrifice. And he said, what? God will provide the sacrifice. He tied Isaac up, put him up on that wood, and was getting ready to cut his throat. And God says, Abraham, I know that you have believed. That's his term right here. I know that you have believed me. You have passed the test. All right? Now, Peter, we find out later on, would deny the Lord three times.
between 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. After 9 o'clock, we find that Jesus was on trial in the middle of the night when he wasn't supposed to be on trial. And a rooster, by the way, let me give you a little barnyard science here. God made chickens. All right? And he made roosters that have loud voices.
Yeah, but which one?
He made the chicken first. I can guarantee you that. He did. He made chicken first. All right? But a rooster crows every 3 hours, 24 hours a day. Now, we have forgotten about that because we have watches now. But the rooster is God's watch for everybody that lived back then that didn't have Rolexes and Patek Philippe's and Vacheron and Constantine's and Piaget's and all of those, all right? Or even the Timex. They didn't have watches back then. And you know the first clocks that they had, what did they do? A long time ago, they gonged, didn't they? They gonged on the half hour, on the hour, and it gonged how many times it was on the hour. So they could tell time without looking at the clock. God already made the rooster. And you go out and you figure out a rooster is going to crow every 3 hours. Sometimes they crow in between, but they're going to crow every 3 hours. And it will be sun time. Not exactly 3 o'clock on our time, but what time it really is, that's when that rooster's going to crow. At 3 o'clock, that's what time 3 o'clock is supposed to be. Jesus said, before the clock crows twice, you're going to deny me 3 times. So from here, after 9 o'clock, because the clock crowed there, after 9 o'clock, he crowed up here 3 times. Before the clock crows twice, you're going to deny me 3 times. And that's what he did between 9 p.m. or after 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning. The cock crowed twice. He denied him 3 times before the cock crowed twice. Right here, the cock crowed. And then just before 3 o'clock, Peter denied him again. And right as he denied him, while he was still speaking, the original language says, the cock started crowing. Here, give you a little bit of barnyard philosophy, all right? Knowledge. We have believed and we have known. First person plural, perfect indicative active. Perfect tense means what? Completed action. We have believed, perfect tense. We have known. That word comes from gnosko. Gnosko. Our word knowledge comes from the Greek word gnosko. That you are the one. All right, look at the word hoti. That's a little conjunction or casual particle. If you want to look on page 294, you can find that one too, buddy. That you, that's a second person pronoun, that you are second person singular, present, indicative, active. All right? Amy A. Esten. That's the way it is. And this is, you are, Amy A. Esten. You are, you continue to be, you always will be. That's present tense, isn't it? Indicative and active. And then we have ho there, and ho is what? That's a definite article. That's a the. And then I put in the word one in there. You are the one. You are the one. That's a practical substantive. You can kind of add that in. By the way, it's nominative singular masculine. Hagios. Hagios. Hagios is made up of two Greek words. The front of it is a negative. What does negative mean? What's a negative? All right, not. All right. And the second there is earth. That word earth. Yay. Not of earth. You are the Holy One. When you're born of God, you are holy because you're no longer of earth. You have a body, but that's not going to be your main
residence. You're born from above, like Jesus said to Nicodemus, born from above, born again, born from above. And you're born not of earth. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not of the earth. He said, do I have to go back into my mother's womb again to be born? He said, no, fool. That's exactly what he said to him. No, fool. You're a teacher of Israel. You're a master teacher of Israel. You're a rabbi. And you don't know what being born again is. All of those proselytes had to be born again. They had to go out there and die to the old world in baptism and be raised to the resurrection of a new life in the Judaism. That's what he told him. He didn't like that, by the way, at first. We find out later Nicodemus is defending Christ. He must be born again, born from above, born not of the earth, but of heaven. Born from above, Brother Fred.
Yeah. Does that mean total surrender?
It means that... not really. When you're born from above, God's Spirit comes and dwells in you, and you have a brand new born-again spirit. But you still live in an old, filthy body. And that filthy body, it's the first thing we're supposed to do is renew the mind that dwells in that body. The renewing of the mind. Okay, reprogram your computer. That's what it says. Reprogram this dirty old mind. Reprogram it. And then I'm going to take this body out of there. But the surrender that we make in our lives, you know, at first when we're born again, we're really hot on fire for the Lord most of the time. But then we run into obstacles that slow us down. Paul said the weight that so easily besets us, slows us down. You know what he's talking about? How many of you ever seen people run with weights in their hands? And they run with weights around their ankles and stuff? They did back then. They trained like then, like we do now. And Paul says, undo those weights. Throw them away. Don't get in a race with those weights. And what hinders us now in our Christian walk? Sin. The weights that so easily convinces us to get out of the race, slow down, whatever. But surrender, you make a constant surrender as a child of God in your life. You surrender a little more of your life until the end of your life. You ought to be really pretty well surrendered, but you've got to be ready to lay this old fossil down, you know, that you're carrying around. You're about ready to lay her down, Brother Jim.
Paul says in the 7th chapter of Romans that the body is a real drag on therapy.
Yeah.
The things
that
we should do, we don't do,
and
things that we should not do, we do. Paul's
referring
to himself.
Yes. What we want to do, it still hinders us. And then it says, the Holy One of God. The word, that's two to you there, and that's in the genitive singular masculine. Genitive singular masculine. And the genitive case is a case of possession, belonging to. Jesus belonged to God. You know, when we're born again, we belong to God. We ought to know who our Master is. We ought to know who we belong to. I know you guys got to go to your choirs and stuff. John 6 and verse 70. Boy, we're in the last verse of this chapter now. Apokrite. Autois. Ho Jesus. Uk. Ego. Himas. Tus, didoka, the dodeka, that is, ex ele samin, kai, ex, himon, ace, diabolos, espin. Well, that's quite a deal there at the bottom. One of you is a devil. One of you a devil, he is. Diabolos. Apokrite. He answered. That's third person singular, first aorist, indicative passive. He answered them to Jesus. to them. That's dative, plural, masculine, third person pronoun, that altois there is. And then ho Jesus, that's the Jesus, nominative, singular, masculine, both of them. And then uk, that's an adverb of negation. If you want to look on page 299 here, a little analytical lexicon, you can find that one too and find out all about it. I give you these pages because it's harder for you to look it up than it is for me, and I have memorized these things because I've done so many of them. The word ace, that's on page 119. The word host, that's on page 444, and on and on and on. Okay? You can look at there, but I've done them so many times and written the page numbers down that I kind of remember. All right. Uk, adverb of negation. Not you, the ones 12, I kicked out. That comes from ek and lego. First person singular, first aorist, indicative middle. I picked out for myself. Middle voice. He said, I picked out every one of you 12 for myself. I chose the 12. What is the word, what 12 is he talking about here? The apostello. The apostles. Okay? Apostles means that comes from apo and stello. That means to send out with authority. Okay? Apostello. He said, I picked out the 12 apostles. The 12. And that's used as a unit meaning those 12 apostles, by the way. He said, I picked out you. That's the word election there, Brother Fred.
Yeah, that's what I was going to answer. This was purpose and plan before the foundation.
Yes. The only apostle spoken of in the Old Testament, the only disciple spoken of in the Old Testament is Judas Iscariot. That's the only one. Not Paul, not Peter, but Judas. He said, one out of my own home will raise up his heel against me. One that ate at my table and took bread from me and offered bread to him, he will raise up his heel against me. Judas Iscariot. What does Judas mean? That's a bad translation of his name, isn't it? What is Judas? What should it be?
Judah.
That means the praise of God. Iscariot. What is that word? That's a Hebrew word, Iscariot. That's a little town down by Hebron, down by Abraham's tomb, the tomb of Machpelah. And Iscariot means man from Kerioth. Man from Kerioth. All right? The man from Kerioth. Judah, the man from Kerioth. He said, one of you I picked out for myself. Jesus chose the apostles. And he picked them out. And he picked them out of the multitude of believers and followers. And what they were all disciples. And what is that, the Greek word disciple? What is that word? Remember, do you know what that word is? Huh? That word. It means what?
Habitual
learner. And that Greek word is mathetes. Alright? It's mathetes. It means habitual learner. Of all these people that kept following, and the word follow, Jesus, that means to follow and hear. It meant more than just follow. It meant to follow and hear and listen and adhere to. Kind of like the word Simon that we just looked at a few minutes ago. Hearer or listener or listening one. These mathetes, these disciples, followed Jesus. And out of the many of them, he chose 12. He picked out 12 of them. And he said, out of ye. And then he says, and one of you, Diabolos. Look at that word, Diabolos.
Devil.
That's where that word comes from. That's dia. Dia means through, or by the agency or something. Most of the time it means just through. Okay, through something. And then ball, I think we get our word ball from that word. It means something that's thrown. Okay? Ball is I throw through. And what he's talking about here is a sword. Swords were real dull back then. They didn't have Wilkinson swords or anything. They didn't have good metallurgists. You know, I have a 1964 Ford pickup. And when that pickup was brand new, the metallurgy in that truck was almost Stone Age. Am I right, brother? All those old Model A's and Model T's, all that old metal in those things, if you got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 miles out of one of those engines, you were doing real lucky. Because the tolerances were real high. High-powered loose. They didn't think an engine could run tight. But then Japan taught us that tight engines could be made. And you can get 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 miles out of them. Well, back then, they were in almost the Stone Age, as we speak. They had swords, and they were about this long, except for big old Goliath sword. And you know that there wasn't a good blacksmith in Israel? Did you know that? They didn't have a metallurgist in Israel. They had to go get their sword sharpened over there in Philistine, in the land of the Philistines. Because they knew how to make swords better and knew how to pound the sword out and roll it. And roll it and fold it and make a harder, sharper edge on it. But these people had little old dull swords about that long. And what they were for is cracking your skull, going through those hard helmets. They'd hit so hard that they could penetrate and crush your skull. Not very often could you be stabbed by a sword. How many of you ever had to stab something like an owl or with a knife? It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. You have to have a real sharp knife. It's hard to do. He was the throughcaster, the one that runs you through with a sword. He was the destroyer, the killer, the murderer, the one that just loved to cut people in two with a sword, chop them, hack them. And we see in the book of Genesis the first hacking that ever took place. The first murder that ever took place. Two brothers, probably twins, by the way. Cain and Abel. Cain was a wonderful man. His mother just thought so much of Cain, she said, "We have gotten the man, even the Lord." She thought he was the Messiah. But that man, the first child, you know, the Bible, in the Old Testament, we see the rejection of the firstborn. The rejection of the firstborn. God rejected Israel. That was his firstborn. He rejected Israel. And we have Jacob and Esau. Esau was a firstborn, but he was rejected, wasn't he? We see the rejection of the firstborn all the way down through there. And this firstborn, this Cain, this gotten, even the Lord, the Messiah, whom they thought they had gotten, turned out to be a bad boy. He hacked his brother to death. He hacked him, stabbed him, cut him, kept on chomping. That word is in the PL stem in Hebrew. It is real intense. Real intense, like in perfect tense in Greek. Intensified in perfect tense. Just, he kept on chopping, overkilled him. He killed him 50 times. He hit him so many times, he chopped him so many times that he would have killed him 50. You know, that's what you call overkill. That's what you call inhumane murdering. When somebody's been stabbed 25 times and the third stab killed them, the other 22 stabs were mean, vicious, and that's what it was. That's the type, this Diabolos, he's a vicious one. He's a vicious murderer. He is a killer. And then it says Esten. That memory I say, Amy A. Esten. He is, third person singular, present indicative active. He always is. He always was. Judas was never saved. He never tasted of that good truth. He heard it. It went in one ear and right out the other one, Brother Fred.
Millions of this same shape today.
That's right.
But here you see that God chose him. God chose him for that purpose. Even the fact that he was a murderer, even the action he does was to the glory of God.
Yes.
That's a little harder.
Jesus said that it would have been better that he had never been born.
God knew he was going to be born. He knew what he was going to do. What made Judas tick? What made this Judah tick?
What made him tick? My material money. Greed. He was a treasurer in the church. Can you be a treasurer in one of God's churches and go to hell?
Yep. The first one did. Can you sit in the church pew all of your life and go to hell? Yep, you can. It's possible. It can be done.
Did they get the word diabolical from that word?
Yes, diabolical. That means terrible.
Yeah.
Diabolical. Okay, John 6 and verse 71. Let's get this thing. We're going to be in the seventh chapter next week. Elegain.
Day.
Tone. You. Boy, I can't talk tonight. Udon. Simonas. Issacharioto. Hotos. Gar. Emelin. Paradinane, Auton, Hase, On, Ek, Tone, Dodeca. By the way, that word dodeca means 2:10. 2 plus 10. That's the way they talked about them. 2 plus 10, and that is 12. All right? 2 plus 10. Dodeca. Elegain has third person singular and perfect indicative active. He kept on saying. He continued to say. He kept on teaching. Kept on saying. Now the Judas, son of Simon, Issacharioth, he kept on saying this one. For this one kept on bringing about to betray. That word betray there, it means to hand over. To hand over. How much money did Judas get for handing over Jesus?
30 pieces of silver.
30 pieces of silver. That's the price of a slave. That's what it was, the price of a slave, the price of a man's life. 30 pieces of silver. He kept on being about to betray him. Look at that word that he kept on being about. That word comes from mello. And this is third person singular and perfect indicative active. That word, emelen. He kept on being about to betray. That's present infinitive active. To betray him. That word auton there, that's accusative singular masculine third person pronoun. All right? Accusative singular masculine. That means he is the direct object. The direct object of Judas's wrath, Judas's greed, was aimed at killing an innocent man for 30 pieces of silver. We're not talking about a number one place for life. We're not talking about a place in glory. We're not talking, you know, John and the two sons of thunder, Zebedee and John, their mother came to Jesus and said, which one of my sons is going to sit on your right hand and which one's going to sit on your left hand? He said, it's not for me to say, but my Father. You know, not one of us that are saved, nothing we ever do for the Lord, if we really do it for the Lord, we're going to be paid for it. We're going to be rewarded for it. And there are different levels of reward in heaven, regardless of what some people say. There's different levels of reward and rewards. There are, like the stars shine in the heaven, some are brighter than others, and that's the way some Christians are. But sometimes it says the first are going to be last, and the last are going to be first. Why do you serve the Lord? My wife wants me to be a famous theologian, so bad. She said, you're one of the greatest teachers that ever lived. You know more, you've done, or you've written more than anybody. And I said, I don't care. I did it because I wanted to study the Bible, and I want people to have access to God's inspired Word. That is the reason. That's why I take these tapes, and why I've written those things, so others can take the Word of God and take my background of study that all I've done and teach it to others. I don't want it quitting right here on my bookshelf. I want you people to take it and shed it in your classrooms, wherever you go in your life. I want you to take what I teach you in here and hand it out. Don't hide it underneath the basket. But give it away. Give it away. Give it away. That's a good, good retirement program. Good retirement program. Don't worry about retiring here. Worry about how you're going to retire in heaven. And do it for Him. For Him. One was going to betray Him. One being, that word one there, that's the word hase. That's a numeral. And then un, that's the nominative singular masculine present participle active. That is a participle, a present participle from Amy. That's where it comes from. And then we see the word at there, that's a little old preposition. Out. And then tone, that's oblative, plural, masculine, definite article. And then we have the word dodeca, and that dodeca means what? Two. Okay, we've got uno, dos, tres, and Greek is a lot like that. Hina, dio, tres. Okay? Well, but I'm going to tell you something. Nobody ever got to heaven, Fred, that resisted the grace of God. That's fact. So it was irresistible to that, wasn't it? And nobody ever went to hell, I believe, that didn't resist the grace of God. Nobody ever got to heaven resisting the grace of God that resisted. Judas, he was a killer, he was a ravening wolf. And God stopped him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by irresistible grace.
He said that he was born out of due time, that he was an abortion. That's what he literally said, that he was aborted. He was on his way to hell, and God aborted him and turned him around. Now that he knew back in eternity past he was going to do that. But he forced him to be saved, Mother. He forced him to. That's what he said.
I think he forced me to.
Well, God, I believe, calls all men. 1 John 2:2. And He dies for all men, but especially in a special, effectual way for those that are saved.
Those that are His.
But He said His sins cover the whole world, not only mankind. For God, John 3:16, for God so loved the... Fred? Scott? What does it say there? Just men? What does it say? Cosmos. The whole created order. He died for the dirt, Brother Fred. He died for all the stars to redeem them back to Himself.
That's the way we come into the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He died for all the whole creation and for mankind. And especially in an effectual way for those that would be saved. Effectually. Hello, Brother Jim. You got a little bit blast here. We're in the 7th chapter of John, brother. We're in the 7 and verse 1. We didn't get very far yet. John 7 and verse 1. Chi, meta, tauta. By the way, that's one of John's real... it's a term that he lies in, meta tauta. Meta tauta. He used that many times. After these things. And then it says peri pate. Hoesus, ente Galilea. See, you're doing whole phrases now. Ugar, ethelen, ente Judea, peripatein, hoti, as they tune, altun, hoi Judeoi, apokatene. All right. Chi meditate. Chi meditate. After these things. And after these things. That chi, you can find that one on page 208, and meta, you can find it on page 265. Meta, chi, meta, tate. And after these things, he kept on walking about. Perry, that means he kept on spreading himself about. Kept on walking around in different places with Jesus. All throughout the Galilee. For not, he kept on wishing to be in Judea. That word, third person singular, imperfect, and active, that ethelain, that comes from thelo. Thelo, that means I wish. He didn't want to be in Judea. Why didn't he want to be there? Because it wasn't time for him to die yet. There are certain things you do. He knew that these people, it says, he didn't want to walk around down there because they kept on wishing to kill him. You don't go stick your head in the lion's mouth. It wasn't time for him to die yet. It wasn't time. So he said, if I go down there in Judea, boil, thank you. That means to boil, to be zealous. That means to be boiling over with ambition. Okay? Now what's the word ambition mean? What does it mean? Literally, what does the word ambition mean? The act of going around in circles. Ambition, or ambitious. To abound in going around in circles.
No, brother.
I thought you and I were here earlier.
I think so. Yeah, with the baby. Yep, she was right back there in the back.
All right. A little late.
Okay, that's all right. Ambitious means the abounding of going around in circles. And beret. IOUS means abounding. And when you're nervous, you're abounding in nerves. Okay? Abounding and going around in circles. That's what ambitious is. When you, that's what a big wheel is. They go around in circles. They kept on boiling me, seeking after me. Water that is agitated is, with heat is boiling, isn't it? If you're at sea level or thereabout at 212 degrees, water will boil. If you're up in the mountains at 7,000 and 8,000 feet, it will boil a lot sooner. But heat makes water boil. And these people's hatred made them boil and want to seek, their anger boil and want to seek his life, to kill him. To kill him. First aorist, infinitive active. That's that one, apokatene, that comes from apokatene. And Cateno. Apo Cateno. They kept on seeking, hotly desiring to kill him. We'll do one more verse here. Cover a little more ground. I'm going to read this one pretty fast. Ain. They Igus. Hey. Eorte. Tone. Eudion. Hey. Skenopagia. The word tabernacle, that means skin. Tabernacle was made from skins, or else from the hair off the skins. Cloth. Skin covered. Ain there is third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. That comes from Amy. And it said, it kept on being, now it kept on being. That word day there, that's a weak adversative conjunctive particle. And you can find that one on page 85 in your little analytical lexicon. It kept on being near, and that word near, Egus there, that means near in time. The feast of the Jews, the one called Tabernacles. It kept on being the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you want to go back to Deuteronomy 16 and 13 through 16 and Leviticus 23 and verse 34 and Zechariah 14, 16 through 19, you can read about that. And by the way, this feast, that word to tone, eudion, that means genitive plural. That means a feast belonging to the Jews that was given to them.
They were administrators in God's kingdom at that time and place. The Jews were. They were supposed to be serving God. They were supposed to be doing the things of God, but yet they were not doing it. I hope you studied and enjoyed God's Word tonight. And come back next week, and we'll start at John 7 and 3. Do you have any questions before we dismiss?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, sir.
I don't know where they talk about it. You know, they talk about that a man's head should not be covered and a woman's should be.
Yeah.
Okay. But why, whenever you see any pictures of Jesus or anything, he has long hair?
It's not talking about hair.
It's not.
No.
But they also say a woman has long hair to cover her head.
Women back in the Bible days, you know, I've had this question asked me 3 times this week, bro.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, right. I'm going to be oddly getting good at this now. All right. 3 times this week, I've had that question asked me. What is talking about there? Women never cut their hair back then. Even the prostitutes of the day would braid their hair and wrap it around their head.
Okay. If a prostitute was caught, she had her hair shaved. Her head was shaved. And she had short hair.
And Paul, he didn't want the women looking like the temple prostitutes that ran around with these bracelets on their hands, selling their favors down to town, handing them out when they'd come back and redeem them later. And he didn't want them dressing like them or acting like them. And the thing about women have always had a problem with being in subjection to their husbands. And that's what Paul was talking about there. He had a real problem with it. His wife divorced him and had him had a mock burial, according to history. And they buried Paul and said, "You're dead, Buster. We have no more to do with you." And Paul was lifeless from that point on, gladly and gleefully, evidently. But anyway, a woman is supposed to, the authority over her head that she